Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you. Hey, listeners. I want to tell you about a sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They're a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. Every week, they host different events, all with the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Oteil Burbridge, Trouble No More, former members of The Band, Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, Bill Frisell, Sean Colvin, and many more. This June, join the Fab Four, Joan Osborne, John Sebastian, Marshall Crenshaw, and a great group of faculty for the debut of Magical Mystery Camp. This all-inclusive, once-in-a-lifetime music vacation experience in the heart of the Catskills will be packed with nightly performances, workshops, speakers, song circles, open mics, and a lot more. If you're a performing musician at any level, bring your instrument. If you're a music lover, bring your good spirit. It's an amazing experience for individuals, friends, and couples alike. Registration is open, spots are filling up, so check it out soon. And scholarships are available. Check out magicalmysterycamp.com/helpingfriendly to learn more.
Osiris. Hi, this is Lucas Nelson with Promise of the Real, and the podcast you're listening to is part of the Osiris Network. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with podcasts and live experiences about artists and topics you love. We'll be doing many live events this summer around the country, which will include artist interviews, contests, and more. Sign up for the newsletter at osirispod.com to stay in the loop.
Hey, everybody.
We're back with a quick hit from the forum night one. We're here with a guest, Mike Ferguson. Hey, Mike.
Hey, RJ. Happy to hop on today.
Yeah, long time fan of the pod, if I can put words in your mouth. But first quick hit.
Yeah, long time. First time, long time. Isn't that the radio voice?
Yeah, exactly. And so you're out in LA. So this is sort of a hometown show for you, right?
Yeah, it's a sleep in my own bed show. Always good ones.
And yeah,
I haven't been out on tour in a little bit, so it was still, you know, I'm still like, oh yeah, I'm dipping my toes in. But it's nice to be able to get home and sleep in bed and have a day. And now we get another show tonight. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
That's awesome. And you've been to the Forum. Have you seen Fish at the Forum before?
Yeah, I saw them in 2015, and I forget if they played there before, but I've seen. Anytime they've played out here since 2010, I've seen the shows. So
cool.
Yes, but yeah, this is it. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask about the venue because I know it's an old stadium that they've basically repurposed just for concerts, right?
Yeah, it's nice. It's it feels like I think Jordan Hoffman put something up on Twitter that it feels a little different than. Like an MSG, because here I'll quote him: "The LA Forum is a real venue, a righteous venue. The place is a time capsule to 1979." That I think is the most accurate. You walk in, it's like going to a super old school like arena show, and that's all they do there now. So the floors are cement; they aren't great to dance on, but the seats are decent, I think. But yeah, it still feels like they get really good sound and Fish can fill that room.
That's cool. And in terms of like the scene and the vibe, I was at the San Francisco shows. Obviously, Fish fans these days, I think, are pretty high energy and excited everywhere. But tell us about the kind of the scene there and then maybe some highlights for you from the first set.
Totally. LA is weird, right? I mean, I think just the crowd here it feels like it's either like super vets or people who are at their first show. So it still kind of feels that way, but it definitely, last night I was up front and on page side and there were a ton of people, running around that had been on tour the entire time and have seen hundreds of shows and then spent the second set dancing with Maggie who's on her like sixth show. And, it's like the what was cool about that scene, I think everybody was so happy that Fish was there. Right. And they were playing and they played a hot show last night and, first set, I mean, that Chalk Dust opener, I think, I mean, I just call sample opener for LA all the time because I figure it's coming. But I set, I think the last LA shows were a little mellow. So expectations, at least for me, were kind of low, but I also haven't seen Fish since 2016. So I was kind of like,
okay.
I had reached the they can piss in your ears level of like, it doesn't matter what they play. So my expectations were super low, but, the Chalk Dust was just, I mean, it was fire out of the gate and then going into every, the youth pastor Trey, everything's right. Which whatever the words are, the jam got really good and it gets, it started to get dark and that, like a fast kind of bluegrassy riffs and, and then that Wolfman's is kind of that's the must listen from the first set.
Nice.
And then I always like this year in particular that I was like, oh yeah, 20 years. It's nice to hear 20 years later. My first show was 98. So it's nice. It's like, yeah, this is officially my 20 years later.
Actually 20 years later. Yeah. That's cool.
And then
the sand,
right? Burned the place down. Yeah. That was, it started and the whole floor started shaking. It was great. It was
wow. Fun. Wow. Like actually shaking.
Yeah. Like people, cool. People were moving. They were on, they were vibing. So it was a good dance party to end the set.
That's awesome. And so people were, I think probably really psyched for the second set after a pretty well played. I haven't listened to the whole set yet, but, was it pretty well played? People weren't complaining about flubs and stuff.
Yeah, it felt like they got the flubs out of the way on the, how many people are you? Which I love when, you know, when they play a Gordon song and he forgets the lyrics, it's one of my favorite things.
It happened at Bill Graham too.
Yeah. Maybe he's been busy practicing the Fish stuff and hasn't practiced his own. I don't know.
Yeah. The Wolfman's was like almost 15 minutes. So that was sort of the highlight of the set for you, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it got good. It was dark. It was a little, you know, it's the Wolfman funk, right? And then it veered off nearly Type 2, came back and... and then that devolved from Wolfman's into How Many People. That was kind of fun too. So it was just a good breakdown.
Cool. And in the second set, just looking at the set list and the times and stuff, it reminds me of the first night of Bill Graham, and that there were like, you know, three or four songs that were 10 or 15 minutes, nothing super long, but a lot of good solid jams. What were your thoughts on that second set?
I mean, we got a second set Ghost. I love a second set Ghost. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I tweeted last night during it felt like Dead & Co pace. It was a little bit of a slower Ghost. And mm-hmm. then they took it deep and dark and funky. And we all went on a journey. I mean, I think we could be talking at some point about the LA Ghost, like being in the Pantheon. It was pretty solid.
Awesome.
And the simple was great. The Slave to close. I mean, that's always like that's my find the joy and appreciate everybody song. So that was fire. And I mean, the whole set, even the Bouncin', which normally it was very weird to not feel like a total jaded vet last night. That's really where they play Bouncin'. I'm like, oh yeah, this is fun. And we're all just hopping around and dancing and singing along, and it was a good time.
That's cool. And did they play all the parts of Slave this time?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They finished.
They finished.
They finished. The Down with Disease is unfinished, but the Slave was finished. Yeah.
And then the Sleeping Monkey into Weekapog encore. I guess once they closed the show with Slave, everyone was kind of figuring that Weekapog would come in the encore, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We figured that was happening. So when they came out and played Sleeping Monkey, I was like, all right, hey, this is one of my favorite encore songs, because we all get, you know, it's a big sing-along. Trey turned the mic on the audience. We all sang together, and then they busted out a great Weegapaw to end the night. So it was a super fun show.
Cool.
Super fun show, and they're playing great. And if you're in L.A., come to the show tonight. There are, like, thousands of tickets available.
Are there really?
So, yeah. And that floors are short, but it looks like, I mean, if you want to go on Ticketmaster and get in the building, you can do it.
Yeah. Cool. That's good. Good heads up. Yeah. So Mike, I know that you, you've been sober now for what, 15 years or so, and you work
coming up on 15. Yeah.
What's it like sort of, as the scene has evolved being sober at shows? Does it seem like less of a big deal now than it used to be? Or is that always kind of an evolving thing for you? Or what's, I don't know, how does it feel? I guess now versus other times.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting. I think there's a lot more people are open about their sobriety. You know, it's nice. I think at Fish shows, it's kind of easy to be among like your fellow peers, because everybody has a little yellow sticker or a pin and to signal that we're there to have a sober show, whether you're in recovery or not. So for me, I think this was my like 80th Fish show sober. So I'm in the sweet spot of, all right, yeah, I can be around it. It doesn't bug me. And I just, you know, as long as I'm not in the lot for like 2 hours after the show, that when things start to get weird, it's not too bad. So, what's great. I didn't get a chance to pop by the fellowship table last night, but we do have, like, we're at a show and struggling or just want to go and be among fellow people who are sober, you can pop by the fellowship table, which is at every show. There's people staffed that do shows sober, whether they're in recovery or not. So it's super fun just to have, I mean, it's nice to have like a community within a community. And I locked eyes with a couple of people that had my Shell's Rage Harder pin on my hat last night, and locked eyes with somebody who was wearing a wearing a sticker on their shirt, and we, you know, did the head nod. And
yeah,
it's just it's a little, you know, it's a club within a club kind of thing.
Yeah,
and we get to support each other and do what we can. Yeah,
yeah, and the fellowship's been.
And we don't have to buy nitrous from Nazis.
Right. the fellowship's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how long. I don't know the full lore, but it was an outgrowth of the Wharf Rats, which were the Grateful Dead sober folks. So, you know, I know friends of mine who were on tour up in San Francisco went to there's a meeting that was like the original Wharf Rats meeting, and I know a bunch of people went to that. So it was kind of a
cool.
Yeah, there's different marks around, you know, around the country for the sobriety stuff too, which is super fun, you know.
Yeah,
it's just a random thing where you can be like, oh yeah, then there's this,
yeah,
we have this random thing in common,
so. Right, well, yeah, that's cool, and I see a lot more of those one show at a time stickers than I used to notice, I guess, but that's cool. Yeah, I was just curious, wanted to hear a little bit more about that. So you get to go back tonight after spending the day with your family, which is kind of cool, and then go back and sleep at home again.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is a, you know, short tour for me this round until Curveball. So, but it's going to be, I'm excited for tonight. And, you know, if we get a sample opener, we get a sample opener and we're going to jam with it. So
yeah,
it'll be a fun show.
What do you have any hopes or dreams for this evening?
Oh, I just want a tweezer. That's, mm-hmm. If we can get a tweezer, that would be, mm-hmm. that would be fantastic. That and a good, you know, I always love a hood, but they just played it on Thursday Wednesday, so I don't know if we'll,
yeah, Wednesday, if we'll Tuesday, see one. So maybe, you know, they played it a couple times.
Oh yeah,
only one tweezer this tour, so you could get it. I hope you get your tweezer.
I'm knocking on wood right now.
Awesome. What do you want to play for folks? Maybe leave a clip going out here.
I would say, like, the middle of the Ghost Jam was fantastic last night. Like, cool. 5 or 6 minutes in.
All right, let's do that. We'll leave people with some of that. And Mike, thanks for coming on and sharing your experience. I hope you have a blast tonight. And let's meet up at Curveball.
All right. Sounds great, man. Thanks again. Thanks for having me on.
Cool. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.